Okay, we're gonna get started.
What?
I got the recorder on. Today's what, 25th?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, we'll get started this way. I won't go over. Try not to go over anyway. Today's July 25th, 2013, Thursday night. Bible study at Faith Bible Church, and we're studying again the ministries of the Holy Spirit and the dispensation of grace, His ministries to us. Tonight we're going to see if we can get in, and I think we should be able to, the ministry of prayer, with the Holy Spirit as a ministry to do with prayer in our lives. And also I think both of these are so important, the ministry of empowerment. You know, this is what I was talking about. Sometimes, because the excesses in certain areas in the church that are, they would say it's the Holy Spirit, you know, moving, and that some in the church tend to, because that's what the name of the Holy Spirit, some tend to go sort of stay away from that doctrine. But the Holy Spirit is one who empowers us, you know, so we don't want to, because of excesses, you know, go the other way, because that's what happens. Sometimes you get one extreme, and then the church will respond to that. Like there was like real years back, the church got sort of carnal, like kind of today. And what happened, out of that came the holiness movement. And it started out good, but then they went excessive to where, you know, it's like you got to dress ugly, and, you know, holiness is everything your church says, instead of holiness is just being set apart. So let's open up in prayer. I'm going to mention you, your parents. Is there anything else anyone wants mentioned in prayer quickly?
Perry, yeah,
he's
still having a difficult time with his stomach.
Okay.
I did talk to Perry on Sunday and about the colonoscopy, and talked to him a few times, saying it's just nothing, just do it.
I know.
You know, and the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to volunteer to go with him if he wants somebody to go with him, if that's what's stopping him.
Okay, we got that on internet now.
Well, those people should pray for
him. Anybody listening, we'd appreciate prayers for Perry. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you, Lord, before anything. We don't praise you to get anything. We praise you for who you are. You're our awesome God, and we have the privilege to call you Father. You bless us with every spiritual blessing in your Son, all by your grace, God, and we just appreciate that so much. And we just want to offer ourselves, our minds tonight, Lord, our hearts, that you might teach us by your Holy Spirit, that we might know you better, that your Son might be glorified within our minds and hearts and our lives, and that your Spirit would have free access. And so, Lord, we just want to lift up Perry to you with his inside problems, and may you give him wisdom to go to the right doctors, and give them wisdom to have insight and being able to help him. Or we pray also, Father, just we pray for your will to be done. If you would desire to heal him, we know you can do that. We know we're not promised it today in the dispensation of grace, but your will is your will, and you can do whatever you choose. We pray for Paul's mother and his father for their adjustment and the change from come from Florida, and his father having panic attacks. And we pray, Father, that you just draw him unto you, Lord. And we pray for my other brother here, for his sleep problems. I pray that you'll direct the doctors to be able to help him. And we lift up our church to you, Father. We pray that your Holy Spirit just continually fixes our eyes on Christ, every single member here. We pray for those who, in other grace churches, God, that your Holy Spirit would just move in their hearts and their minds, and help us not only to grasp your grace, but for it to grasp us. And may your Holy Spirit be the ultimate teacher here tonight, Lord. And may we glorify your Son and whatever's done here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, again, my new saying is, when you see my toothpick come out, the cell phones go off, our minds get turned on, our hearts and our spirits get open. So that's going to be my famous thing.
You mean our spiritual mind?
Yeah. That inner man, inner woman. So we're going to start out with the ministry of prayer. It's very important in our prayer life that to know the Holy Spirit is there interceding for us. We're going to go to the verses first, then I'll highlight on it. Ephesians 2:18. And just before I read it, I want to read something. Where it says we have access, that word access, it has the idea of bringing to someone, like introduction, and bringing someone to someone. So Ephesians 2:18. For through him, that's Christ, we're not going to go through the whole chapter just for time, but Christ, we both, that's Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ today, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So you see the whole Trinity there. So it's through Christ, and this is where we get the idea that you pray to the Father in the Son's name through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually gives us access to the Father. Ain't that cool? I mean, think we literally have access to God. I mean, what if today the president, I'm going to not throw anything out there with that. But even the president that we have today, and he came to Chicago because he's from Chicago, right? And your friend says, hey, I can get you in to see the president. I can get you access. Wouldn't it be a privilege if you think about it? Well, the president is one of the most powerful men in the world. But we're talking about God, man. We have access to the Father. And we're going to see before his throne of grace and mercy. But that's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. He brings us before the Father. He gives us access to the Father. Let's look at the next verse, Hebrews 4:16. And I know some who are sometimes nitpick. And you know, we do got to be careful. We need to rightly divide the word, or we'll get confused. But we also need to see some things. Even in the prophetic program and the mystery program, the dispensation of grace we live in, we have in common. Just like Israel, God can only bless them through what Christ did. Like the new covenant. Alright? That's through Christ's blood. Well, we're also affected by the new covenant. Now, the new covenant was promised to the nation Israel. It was never promised to the Gentiles. But we, by grace, receive, because they're all spiritual blessings in the new covenant, we receive them spiritual blessings. So, there's certain things, you know, some people say, well, we shouldn't be going in the book of Hebrews and getting doctrine or whatever. But what I believe, I won't argue with someone, but I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews for a couple different reasons. You know, a lot of people, very good Bible teachers, don't believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. But this is just my opinion, so you know, you can take that for what it is. But it talks about Timothy in the book of Hebrews. You know, and also it talks about Peter talked about, and he's writing to Hebrews, he's writing to the prophetic church, he talked about the letter that Paul wrote you. Well, what letter did Paul ever write the Hebrews? So I believe he wrote the book of Hebrews. But there's a purpose for that book. And so, remember, the Hebrews never thought there was any greater throne than David's. And they were wanting to go back That's what the book of Hebrews is about. It's about correcting them Hebrew believers that didn't see it's something new now. You know, and they're wanting to go back to law. They're saying, yeah, I'm forgiven, but they got a lamb on their shoulder, you know, carrying it to go get it sacrificed. And so I believe Paul's writing them to show them there's something better from what Christ has accomplished. So that's why we're going to the book of Hebrews. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And I think most of us probably know this verse. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So there's a throne of grace. And we're going to see Christ sits on the throne of grace at the right hand of the Father. And that's Paul writing that to us. So we can learn something from here. There's a throne of grace. And the Holy Spirit, what does it say? He gives us access to the Father, right? What we just read. So He brings us before this throne of grace. And what does it say here? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, when is time of need? To me, I mean, I think contextually here, it's talking about you when you're really going through everything. But if you think about it, time of need is every second, every minute, every hour, every day. We need Christ. And we need God's grace and we need God's mercy. So there's a throne of grace. So let's look a little bit deeper into it. Ephesians 1:20. What chapter happened? Better in church hopping, I guess, right? Okay. Now this is talking about that resurrection power. Actually, I might even Paul's got a prayer going here above, and in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And this is how does He do that? Through the Holy Spirit, right? That you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I don't know how you've been feeling this week or whatever. Have you been feeling rich? If not, it's because we're not focused on the riches that we have in Christ. Sometimes we get our eyes on, you know, the problems, right? Things going on, you know, your mom, your dad, you know, you go to work and you got things. And we get our many things demand our attention, but only Christ deserves our attention, right? And so I think that's why it's important to come to study and church, because to me it's like a compass. It refocuses you, you know, to the mark, you know, our focus. So in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. So that throne of grace and mercy is where? At God's right hand in heavenly places. And the Holy Spirit takes us and gives us access to God, to His throne. I mean, think about it. In the days of the kings and stuff, if you got to get in and see the King, man, you would be excited. Like I mentioned the president earlier, you know, we got something better. This is God. I mean, real quick, I'm going to let you tell me some things about God. Who is God? What kind of God is He?
God of love.
God of love. Infinite love.
He knows everything.
He knows everything.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
God of mercy.
God of mercy and grace.
God that forgives.
God that forgives.
Always was, always will be.
Always was, always will be. He's immutable. He can't change. He's all powerful. He knows everything. I mean, this is God, man. And we got access. And sometime, what are we doing? Oh, this ain't going right for me, you know. I didn't get that raise. Or, you know, Like me, I dropped something on my toe at work. I mean, my toe's hurting, you know. And when we're rich, we're so spiritually blessed, and we have this access to God the Father. And that's why getting into the Word and stuff, it reminds us. You know, and the Holy Spirit, like the different ministries we're learning, He illumines our mind, He reminds us. And then what happens when you're focused on that? You start rejoicing, right? I mean, you just can't help it. Your emotions respond to your thoughts. As our thoughts are focused on the Father, on Christ, His Holy Spirit bringing the truths from His Word, our identity in Christ. I mean, we have union with Christ, oneness with Christ. Never think of yourself apart, Martin Luther said, apart from Christ. You know, what about when you mess up? You know, and we do fall short every day. We might not do the big, the filthy five and the dirty dozen, you know, but we fall short. Well, who are you then? You're still in Christ. You're one with Christ. You're in union with Christ. You're holy without blemish, perfect in God's eyes. And when we do mess up, what's the Holy Spirit do? He doesn't condemn us. There's no condemnation. He might condemn behavior, but He never condemns us. He'll convict us of not walking consistent with that behavior. And then what do? He reminds you of who you are. So we can keep in step. And we're going to see it. I believe we should be able to get to it today, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So we see here that Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and He's sitting on the throne of grace and mercy. He intercedes for us. And then Romans 8:34, a couple books back. Here's just what I was talking about. It goes right with what I mentioned. Who shall lay any... And verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? This is a little commercial. It has nothing to do with study tonight. When you see elect, don't think of you're elected to be saved. That's some in the church that's been around for a long time called Calvinism, and I won't get all into it, but they'll say you're elected, you're predestined, the elect are predestined. Election means service. When you see election in your Bible, write it down, whatever, it means service. In the Old Testament it says Christ was God's elect. Did He need to be saved? No. So that's just a little side note for you. Romans, what did I say? Oh, Romans 8:34. Say 33. Who shall lay a thing to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. People can talk about you, but you know what? It should matter more to us what God thinks than what they think, and He knows more. And so no one, not even Satan, can come before God and accuse us. You know why? Because Christ is there interceding for us. And so, it is God that justifies. So, it's God who declared you righteous, justified you. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So, Christ is at the right hand of God making intercession for you. How long is that going to be? Is that going to be till the next time you mess up? It's eternally. You know, that's why this is eternal security. You know what I mean? Christ intercedes for us. You know, no matter what the accuser, Satan, brings, it's like the holes in his hand are there. God was satisfied. There was propitiation, the idea of God being satisfied. So, let's go to Romans 8:26-27. So remember, Christ is interceding for us, and also the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And He that searches the hearts, that's God, so He knows our every thought. Isn't that intimidating? What happens when you get a What do you do when you get a tempting thought? Or a thought that shouldn't be there? Do you think, oh, God's disgusted with me now? Or this is what I'm talking about. Never think yourself outside of Christ. Your union with Christ. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, right? His Holy Spirit indwells us. And what His Holy Spirit's going to do is not condemn us, because there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. He's going to remind you that you're a new creation. And so where's the thought coming from? The flesh. It's still there. That's the nature. So it's like, no, I died to that, right? That's where it says, you know, about crucifying yourself. The idea is you already been crucified with Christ. You know, where throw off them sinful works. The idea is let Christ, let it be who you really are inwardly, expressed outwardly. You know, it's like, that's not me. See, don't think when you get them thoughts, they're from the flesh, and Satan works through the flesh. And then you think, oh, look at how, you know, I'm saying I'm a Christian, and, you know, and I think like this, or I acted like that, or whatever. You know, no. The thing is, that's not me anymore. You reckon yourself dead to sin, Romans 6, and alive to God. And again, you get your focus on God. You're not focused on your failures. The Holy Spirit always brings you to your identity. Now, if you don't know your identity by being under grace teaching, how is He going to focus you on it? You know, you're going to be sin-focused instead of Christ-focused. And it says, so God, we're talking about, and He, in verse 27, and He that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit, so you don't have to worry about, you know, some people, you ask them, would you like to pray? And especially if it's before any people. No, you go ahead, you know. And because I think sometime you've been around people, especially if they use the King James Bible and that the D's and thou's, and they pray elegantly, oh, thou Father who art, you know, and they think they might say something wrong in the prayer. But the thing is, you don't have to worry about that. So you just pour out your heart to God. He's not looking at your words. He's looking at your attitude of your heart. He's looking at your thoughts, everything, your emotions, your feelings, everything that you're experiencing and going through. And the Holy Spirit intercedes, and He takes what's according to God's will, and He brings that to God. See, that's why you don't have to worry, I got to pray exactly perfect in order to pray. So praise God for that ministry that we have, the Holy Spirit. Now, where it says, and He searches, the idea there is examines our hearts. Because a lot of times we're praying in the flesh. We could do that, right? I remember this dude, man. I bust out laughing in the middle of his prayer at my Bible study years ago. He starts praying. I guess he had a mean boss, a tough boss. He starts going, God, get him. I bust out laughing, man. Right in the middle of the prayer, you know, because I'm like, wow, you know. So that wasn't his spirit praying. That was his flesh, you know. And the flesh will always pray what? Its desires. You know, God, change this. You know, change this situation, you know, change this, change them. That's the real good one, right? If you're married, especially your kids, or it could be friends, whatever. Where God says, I want to change you. You know, that's what with the Holy Spirit. He, as He takes what we're praying according to the will of God, and God starts working in us. You know what it says? God works all things for good. Romans 28, for those who are called according to His purpose, to love Him and call Him. And right after that, actually it's here. Look at verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, so God knew who would trust in His Son. He did predestinate, what? To be saved? No. I didn't plan on none of this Calvinism stuff here tonight. But it's not a predestination, because this is saved people. What's God predetermined something that what? Not to be saved, to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's how God's working out things for our good. Because He takes all them things, and as we learn to respond, because the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God, them truths to our mind, and we start responding God's way, what happens? We start being conformed to the image of Christ. And then what happens outside? It starts inward. See, what does religion do? It tells you to clean up your flesh. What you can do, get committed, be determined, you know? And then when you mess up, what do? The next week, I don't know what could have got into me, God. How could I have did that? I'll do better. You know, it's all you. And it's an appeal each week. And the pastor will have out the whip. You know, like Jordan says, he was taught at his Bible college, the first one he went to, you win them, you wet them, and you whip them. You know, that's what a lot of teaching in church is, you know. And that's not what the Holy Spirit's doing in us. God doesn't start out here. He starts inward with our attitudes, and He transforms our thoughts. So we start thinking like He's thinking, and we start, like, when I used to go to work at that place, I had a lot of bipolar people, where I still go with the rehab, schizophrenic people, and some of them tough to deal with, you know. And I used to pray every morning, Lord, let me see them through Your eyes. Let me love them through Your heart. Use my hands to hug them. Use my lips to speak to them, you know. But let me see them the way You see them. And it wasn't me, but they knew I loved them because they seen the love of God. One guy told me, he said, the chick who used to work here before, she just did it for a check. We can tell You care about us. See, that was the love of God. That wasn't me, because I'm on my own. I can be very selfish, you know. Ask Mary. Ask the wife if you want to know the husband something, you know. But when God's controlling me by His Holy Spirit, and that's all of us, you know, then love comes out. So, you see, it's God, He searches or examines the heart, knows what is mine in the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So as we pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes and brings our requests before the Father. Now, you say, well, that's cool. Then I ain't got to pray that much, because the Holy Spirit's going to do my praying for me. Oh, no. Because if you don't pray, He don't intercede. So, that one didn't work. Yeah, so we have to do the praying, but He does the interceding. And, you know, I always, for years, have understood how important it is to get in this Word and know it, so you don't get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes through the church. So you can reach out to people and share truth and counsel them. But my prayer life before, you know, I prayed, but I didn't realize the importance of it as much. That's what we're all growing. You know, we're growing in grace. And it's, our prayers are just as important as getting into the Word. You know, and it's just not in the morning. Like, how would you like, I've heard this expressed before, if your kids, a lot of you's got kids and stuff, right? And they says, Dad, I'm going to call you every morning for 15 minutes, every day. But the rest of the day, I can't talk to you. How would you like that? And you'd be like, save your 15 minutes. You know, if you can't come and talk to me and see me and spend time with me, you know, I love you and I want to spend time with you and interact with you and know your heart, your desires, what you're going through and stuff. Well, that's like God. If we give Him our 30 minutes in the morning just, you know, I mean, that's what I do. I mentioned earlier what you want to call a quiet time. I like the mornings because studying the Word. But I don't stop my praying then. Now it's gotten to be, I'm working. And like all that heathen stuff that was last week, I'm going, thank You, Lord, I got work. You know, and then I was even, because of heathen, I was kind of tired. I'm like, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for, but I want to be praying, you know. So I want to spend time with Him. And He wants to spend more time with us than we do with Him. You know, so that's growing, but that's that relationship, right? And when we realize what a privilege it is, we're not going to be feeling sorry for ourselves for all the other things going on. And so the Holy Spirit's going to take what is the will of God. He's going to intercede for us. So don't worry about when, I don't know if I should pray about this or if this would be, you know, what does Philippians say about prayer? Philippians 4, 4 through 6. Be anxious for nothing, or careful, King James. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. So don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious. But what? Pray. And then what happens? The peace of God that passes all understanding protects our minds and our hearts, our thoughts and our emotions. So we should bring everything. You say, but I don't know, you know, that's a physical need. And I heard some grace teachers teach we shouldn't really be praying for physical stuff, you know, blah, blah, blah. No. What's the word say? It's not what teachers say. It says, in anything. Right? So we pray about everything. If someone's bothering you, if you're struggling in something, if you're praying, even, do we pray to God when it's good times? Sharing that with Him. You know, or do you, same thing, you want your kids or nieces and nephews or whatever, do you want them only asking you for things? Hey, Mom, you got $10? $50 for dance? Or do you want them coming? And I remember when I was a young Christian, I don't know, because I didn't know that much, just so happened I got on the radio a couple times teaching. This guy, Joe, I was doing a Bible study through my house through the Christian radio, and then he asked me to teach. What was the reason I was going there? What was I saying before that? I sound like my old pastor, Kirkwood. It'll come back to me later. So, where were we at? Romans. So, we see the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Go to Ephesians 6:18. Anybody got any ginkgo biloba? That's supposed to be for your mind, memory. How many people want to do God's will today? Yeah. And well, this is one thing, prayer. It's God's will. We'll find out to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean when you're driving, close your eyes and pray in the Spirit. I used to wonder, when I went to the Pentecostal churches, there's a big woman, and they would do that shaking, and all of a sudden she'd shake around a whole bunch and then fall back. I felt sorry for the little guys that would catch her. You know? And I always thought the Holy Spirit came to give you life, not slay you, you know. But I always thought, because sometimes people say, you just can't help it, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I'm thinking, what if she was driving, and all of a sudden... So, it's not that, as we get to here. In verse Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for the saints. So that's the idea, praying under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now is that praying Ashanahai Kitahashanahai? No. It's under, what's the Holy Spirit going to influence you to pray? One thing, not according to law, so don't pray legalistic law prayers in that program. We're under grace, right? He's gonna teach us to pray and influence us to pray according to God's will in the age that we live in dispensation of grace. And it says, this is God's will, praying always. Like I said, it's not every second of the day, but it's with that constant prayer attitude. The constant relationship. I'm talking to God. The Holy Spirit's bringing His Word to my mind. He's talking to me, and we're just getting more intimate and closer. And you know, and other people see it too. They see that when you're focused on the Lord, don't you have that joy and that peace that does pass all understanding, even when you're going through things? So it's praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and then watching. Sometimes we pray for people, right? Maybe people in the church or whatever. And then, when something happens, sometime we think, maybe that was just coincidence. You know, that's our flesh, right? And Satan too, I think. But it's with all perseverance, so that's not stopping. You know, prayer takes a little work. You know, the flesh is, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak, right? It sure don't want us focus on God, on His Word, because just like cockroaches, when the light comes on, what happens? It shows the cockroaches. So the flesh don't like to be caught in where He's trying to get His little claws, His claws on you. He doesn't want you to be continually aware that we are freed from that sin nature. We're freed from the flesh. Freed what? To serve God. Not because I have to, because I want to. Because that's who you are in Christ. That new creation, that your new man, that inner man, only wants to serve God. It's that old man who's been powers broke that we don't have to give in to, and we have to realize that's not us. Them thoughts are not from us. It's coming from Him. I don't need to listen to a dead person. Is that very smart to take advice from a dead person or let a dead person control you? No. So we should pray always, this is God's will, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, so that's under the influence and power of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So what else does that tell you in God's will we should be praying for? The saints. Saints are who?
Norland.
Only the pastor. Pastor and Dave, I'm not quite up there. No, it's every believer. To the saints in Corinth, they were carnal. They were saints, set apart by the Holy Spirit. So I hope everybody's praying for our church. Not only that, individual people you know. I got a whole list in the morning. You're on it now because I got one for people in pain and health and things like that. I tell them you're in trouble now, you're on my list. Okay, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Hang to the right, a few books. First Thessalonians 5, verse 17. I'm going to start in 16, but for context, because I believe this is God's will for us. Rejoice evermore. God didn't say His will as you just be happy. You know why? Happiness, the Greek word for happiness comes from happening. That means when things are happening the way I want it, I'm happy. But what happens when ain't? What's the other word? The negative. Unhappy. There is no word on joy. Joy is when we're focusing on Christ, we're believing Him, He's working all these things for our good, even in the midst of everything that happens. See, what? Remember what Joseph told his family? What you meant as evil, God meant as good. If Joseph never went through them terrible times in prison, you would think he had to have some doubts. I've been serving God, and why is these things happening? If He loved me, He wouldn't let me in jail. You know, but he must have a really good attitude because he served God right where he was at. In the midst of the struggles and the prison and false accusations. And what did God do in the end? He worked it all for His good. He was able to rise to the top and help his family and his people out. And if that didn't all happen, he would have never been available to be able to be such a blessing to them. So God's will for us is to rejoice evermore and to pray without ceasing. That's what I was looking at. That doesn't mean, you know, we think of prayer, you always got to close your eyes. A lot of time when I'm walking, I pray. You know, the only thing is why I think a lot of time it's good to close your eyes, except when you're driving or walking, unless you like scars on your forehead, is because to get away from the distractions, you know, when we're alone. But it's pray without ceasing. It's just a continual attitude of prayer. And that shows a continual attitude of dependence. And whenever you're in dependence, I'm a what? Control you. Be not drunk on wine, whereas in excess. Or another version says that's debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. So whatever if wine, an alcoholic is controlled by that alcohol, but contra-wise, be controlled by the Spirit. as you depend on Christ. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And also in verse 21, prove all things. That word prove in the New King James, it says test. Prove, test all things. So whatever you hear in teaching, including mine, test it by the Word of God, and rightly divided. Okay, we're going to see... I might jump ahead of one because we don't... We're going to do, instead of the ministry of empowerment, and that one I was really looking forward to do, but we got about 15 minutes, and this will give you a reason to come back next week because we're going to do it next week first. And anybody listening, we're going to do the ministry of worship. Philippians 3:3. Just a little bit back, a couple books. Now I got to leave myself a note now so I don't forget. And here, Paul's not saying we're a Jew, where he says, for we are the circumcision. What he's trying to show is that we're the true people of God. We're not spiritual Israel, not warmed over, extended, nothing. We are the body of Christ. But he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. So again, the Holy Spirit has what? A function in our worship. And what does worship mean? Anybody know the idea of the word? It's work. Worshiping God, we're recognizing His work. So, he says, which worship God in the Spirit, and then you see again, when you're focused on God, you're worshiping Him, you're rejoicing, right? Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Don't have confidence in anything, your strength, your commitment, your self-discipline. Again, religion produces self-discipline. The Holy Spirit produces what? What's the last fruit of the Spirit? The beginning is fruit of the Spirit is love, right? Self-control. That's what the Holy Spirit, He controls that self. He controls us not by fear like the law. He controls us by gratitude. And He empowers us, which we'll see next week. But worshiping God is... What is Romans 12? We'll probably go to that. Yeah, that's the last one anyway. It's offering your body as a living sacrifice. It's offering everything you are in view of what? Because God's going to get you? Or He's going to take some away? You're not going to get some? No, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And gratitude, you say, here I am, Lord. And there ain't no better place I want to be than serving You in my life. There's no more meaning and purpose in life than serving God, being available. I mean, we don't have to. We can go out there and we could, like me, I could go back into doing the drugs and I could womanize or whatever, and I could be doing that and I could just waste my life. But what purpose would it do? I wouldn't be happy, because a believer, you can sin, but you can't stay in that sin and be happy without being convicted. But it would just be a total waste, right? And I wouldn't be rejoicing, I wouldn't have peace, and I wouldn't have love, I would have selfishness. And we don't want to waste our days, right? We got so many days. So we want to go, Lord, here I am, I ain't much, but I'm available to You. And that's what He's looking for, not our abilities, not what we can do in our own strength. That's learning to walk in the Spirit. And it's learning true worship. It's no longer, what did Paul say? He says it over and over and over in different ways. It's no longer I who lives. It's not me as my Pharisee that was so determined. Every little part of my life I had under it, self-discipline. No, he said, I count all that rubbish, right? So, okay. 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So when we worship, we're having confidence in Christ. Lord, I can do all things through you. I can face all things through you. And that's a growing and learning thing. Let's go to John 4:24. Remember, we have to rightly divide the word, but some things are transdispensational. I'll give you one thing. God, it's not God's will for sin under law, and it ain't God's will for sin under grace. Transdispensational. The Trinity, or triunity of God. God doesn't change. You know, it's transdispensational. Doesn't change whether it's in under law, under grace, before law, or after the dispensation of grace. John 4:24. God is a spirit. I try and be nice about King James because I know some people who listen, but in a lot of translations it says God is spirit. God is spirit. That says who he is. He's not flesh and blood. Now Christ took on flesh and blood, but the Father, he is spirit. Yeah. And so they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if what you're believing or teaching isn't truth, I don't care if you're going to church 5 times a week, every time the doors are open, and twice on Sunday. If it ain't truth, it ain't worship. And I don't care if you're singing. Like, I got no problem with contemporary music, to tell you the truth. I like some of it, but some of it I do. If it ain't based on truth. If it's all me and I and my, and it's focused on me, that ain't worship. Worship is what? God-focused, not man-centered. But there's some very good songs that... I like that one Mary sings, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Or he's God is able, you know, to whatever you're facing today, he'll make a way. So there's a lot of good things. But when I was a pastor, I was a nitpicker in the music ministry. I was in there for a little while. They kicked me out because I couldn't sing. True. The other pastor's wife and my best friend's wife come up and says, Paul, you can sing and you can preach great, but you can teach and you can preach great, empowered, but you can't sing. They booed me out, which I didn't feel bad because I only got in because we had just got started. But my buddy was sort of in charge of that ministry. And I would tell him, we ain't singing that song. And he's going, why not? I said, because that's not true. That them words ain't true. You know, actually in some of the hymnals here. Some of the old hymns are wonderful, great, and that's more God-centered. But I read some of the words because they didn't understand right division and grace. And so I can't sing them words. If I know it's off, and no matter what song, I just don't sing that line. Or I change the line. You know, I don't know if that's right or not. Me and Mary did karaoke, and I sing Frank Sinatra's song My Way, but I sing it, I did it God's way. You know? So, but he got upset because he goes, well, there's thousands of... You see why they kicked me out of the music ministry? I think I heard the microphone start shaking. But he got upset. He goes, there's thousands of songs then we can't sing. And I said, then we're not going to sing them. Or change that line or whatever. I said, would you like me being up at the pulpit preaching and teaching air? Well, music is a ministry too. And music gets past your critical thinking sometimes to your emotions. My wife, her favorite group, I think, of all time is the Beatles. You know, and she loved John Lennon. And you ever listen to that song he sang? Imagine? Imagine there's no heaven. You know, I could imagine there's no religions. That would be nice. But what he's talking about is no faiths or anything. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't want to imagine that. And it's beautiful. I'm not going to sing because my brother's going to make another one. Yeah. Now what, tell everybody, say, you want to see some funny coming to Thursday night study and hear Paul sing. But, you know, you can get in that song if you don't listen to the words. So, you know, even in when we're, you know, worship is just not singing, though it is a form of worship. You know, if we're singing unto God and we're singing truth, because you got to worship in what? Spirit and in truth. And Jesus said, those who are born of the flesh are flesh. That means, in the language it's written in, that they are and they continue to be flesh. And those born, that's why he said you must be born again, right, of the Spirit. You know, people go, oh, we're not born again. You know, we're, there's another word Paul uses. But it's the same idea. It's being born of the Spirit. We become God's children. And so Jesus said, and those born in the Spirit are spirit. So you get saved and you continually saved. And so unsaved person cannot worship God. I don't care if they go to church. I don't care if they got this beautiful voice. Remember Elvis? Now, I don't know if Elvis was saved or not, you know. But if he wasn't saved, it didn't matter them gospel songs he sang. It didn't affect God, nothing. But if he was saved and he was singing it to God and the words were based on truth, then it blessed God. You know? All right, let's go to Ephesians 5:18-20. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So again, whatever your dependence on will control you. We have to depend on the Holy Spirit to produce the life of Christ in and out of us. And here's some of the evidence of being filled with Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. You didn't have a song in your heart. I was at work today singing. It's kind of loud. So no one laughed at me. Only at my church they laughed at me. And spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And here's some very important, and I think in true worship, it's thanking God for everything. I thank you, Lord. Now, don't thank Him that He caused something, because some people will say that. Oh, well, God brought this, brought you to it to bring you through it. No, He didn't cause it. We live in a fallen world. You got Satan, you got flesh, you got fallen people. So in a fallen world, we get sick. Even believers sometimes go through divorce. Children get caught up in things, you know. We go through things. But as we're giving thanks, Lord, thank you that I can face whatever I have in front of me. I can do this through Christ. And I thank you for having patience with me. When I fall short and I get my mind off you, and thank you what you began in me, you're going to finish. Thank you that you're working, God, working within me to do and the will according to your good pleasure. You know, God, through His Spirit, works within our will. He doesn't overrule our will. He works in us. His grace, the Holy Spirit teaches us His grace, teaches us to deny ungodliness, say no to sin, and to what? Live upright and godly. Why? Because I don't want to live like that anymore. I did. It was garbage. Now I want to live like this. I want to be effective, you know, because if we're caught up here, we're not available. Right? Because who's going to believe you? You know what I mean? Jordan used to say there was one guy who he never got over. He understood grace. He understood right division. But he never got over they call it alcoholic. The Bible calls it a drunk. Okay. But he said he would be out in the park sharing right division and with the other bums, you know, people struggling with that. And God might have used him, but how available was he? I'm sure God did use him, matter of fact, at times to reach someone. But are the majority of the people going to want to listen to what we got to say. If they don't see, not a perfect person, but a consistency, see that our faith is real. And not only when things are going good. What about when you're going through the hard times? That's when they really notice. And then they're watching you. Oh, let's see. They talk about faith in God, how mighty and powerful Jesus is, and how He can change my life. Let's see. You know? And even if they see you have some stress, because it's natural when we get our eyes on the problems, what? Our emotions respond, right? But then they see, but there's this strength, and he or she, they don't stay like that. There's something in them that they want. They want it now. And then they come and start asking you questions. You know, well, I got a friend who wants to know. You know, they don't want to tell you about themselves. And then, how far did they say? 18 through 20. And that giving thanks is what? For all things, unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So everything we have from God is what? In Christ, right? That's why I said, never think yourself apart from Christ. And then the last verse, Romans 12:1. This is one of my favorite verses, Romans 8:28, and this one. And what I want to say is,